This is a HeadGum Podcast.
How did the date go?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
To the point that I don't remember who I was on a date with.
That's funny.
But I just remember that I was on a... What?
You don't remember who it was with?
I barely remembered where it was.
Oh, Demi.
That's my brain. It's not her.
Okay.
It's not her. It's me. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to keep going. I just want to point out that it's not her that was the problem. It's me. And I just feel like I need some time to sort myself out before I can remember ladies' names.
How much time do you need?
You know, it's just, it's not an open and shut thing, you know? Maybe a week, maybe a couple of months, maybe a year. We'll never know.
It's 2019
now. We'll never know,
you know? Who can say where the road goes, what the day shows,
stop,
only time.
Stop. We're not doing any other day.
I also don't think those are the lyrics.
Punch it!
It's time for
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
What is up, all y'all? Did I already do Benedict Puncher Buncher Punch Bennett Punch Cumber Jams? That's not even the best version of it.
Do you want to take it again?
Jam Addict Cumber Punch.
Jam a dick?
Jam a dick. Jam a dick, you cumber punches. It's Punch Up the Jam. Welcome. We're back for 2019.
Our first taping in 2019, and we already fucked it up.
Look, I mean, if you've been listening to this episode for all 50 episodes and you expected anything otherwise, it's your fault.
Yeah, because this episode is 50 episodes long.
Sure is.
What do we do? Who are we? Why are we?
Well, I'm Demi.
I'm Yael.
And together, we talk about songs, popular songs,
mm-hmm.
talk about, you know, what they mean to us,
mm-hmm.
what they mean, period,
mm.
and whether or not they're crazy or unpunchable,
mm.
and then we punch them up, regardless of whether or not they are.
Today, whoa, what a treat. First of all, first episode with super producer Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
We have stolen
her. Hit that drop again.
Super producer Marissa.
We have stolen her from All Fantasy Everything. You're not welcome, boys.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we're doing this song with this guest.
I mean,
should we introduce them?
Well, what a way to start the year. Let's do it.
Woo!
You know him as a comedian. You know him as one of the stars of the Comedy Central show, Corporate. Give it up for Jake Wiseman.
Guys, it's incredible to be here. I'm so psyched.
I'm so psyched that you're here too.
Oh, Jake, what a treat. Okay, first of all, you have a show.
I have a show called Comedy. Oh my God.
I have a show called
Comedy Central.
Yeah.
So just go watch all of it. It's very different, all of it.
So many hours.
He's only a part of the show. It's a 24-hour show, but he's in there.
Honestly, I had a cavity filled this morning, so at like first thing in the morning, so I think that I'm still a little woozy from it. So that's the little wacky stuff going on.
You got the wacky juice.
Yeah, I have a show called Corporate on Comedy Central. It's coming back season 2, January 15th at 10:30 p.m. Please watch. It is funny.
It is very funny.
Thank you very much.
Season Everybody's
one is
in
fantastic.
It.
Everyone is in it.
Yes.
Except us.
No, I'm in it.
Demi's in it.
You don't know, but I'm Yael, in it.
You start in the show.
That's right. I'm the second lead.
Yael is a Aparna.
Yeah, I'm super excited to watch more of it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. There's a lot of comedians on it. I think people you've had on this show.
Oh, for sure.
Fellow HeadGum podcaster Adam Lustig is a star of the show.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. Lance Reddick from The Wire. If you aren't hooked yet, what's
friend
wrong
of the
with
show,
you?
Lance Reddick.
Anne Dudek, who was in White Chicks.
Whoa.
Vanessa
Carlton vehicle.
Yes. So it's a funny show. If you like comedy, please watch it. Blah, blah, blah.
I saw you guys filming over by Bigfoot Lodge, I think, one time. And I kept walking by and I was like, I don't want to disturb them.
Oh,
but
you
I also,
so should have.
Whatever.
Oh, man.
It's just a fun Hollywood story.
What's funny? We shot at The Roost.
Yes.
That bar, The Roost.
The Roost.
And the reason why we shot at The Roost is because in the script, it called for a bar. And we wrote a bar sort of like The Roost. And our production designer, who actually is my cousin, just said to us, she read the script and she goes, why don't we just shoot at The Roost? And I was like, oh, right, we live in L.A. Like, yeah. that's what we can do. So we shot at the Roost.
We have a TV show. Yeah,
it's perfect. So weird when you can do that.
That's so exciting, though.
It's beyond exciting, and I don't deserve it. Like, that's just on a basic level. It's too crazy. And it is fun. And at some point, I'm going to wake up, and I'll be in, like, a mental hospital, and I'll be like, oh, this was all a dream. Like, especially Punch Up the Jam. That was, like, a total dream.
That's
that never
the only
happened.
Part of it that was real, actually.
And it turns out I have headphones on, and they're only looping, like, episodes of Punch Up the Jam.
Really what
drove
me
nuts. You're just chalking along. Yeah. Well, okay.
Bring them out.
I am dying to know, of all the guests we've ever had, you are, in my mind, previous to not knowing you, one of the least likely to choose Alanis Morissette. And here we are.
Okay, so here's the thing. I have a low level beard. Like, I'm a tall guy. I look like a man.
Low level beard, like 5 o'clock
saying,
shadow.
I look like, yeah. Well, no, it's more than 5 o'clock.
You're Paul Bunyan light.
Yeah, so I look like a big guy, right? But really, on the inside, the first few seconds of You Oughta Know, where it's like, that's who I am on the inside. You know what I mean? Just that sort of that feeling of like being in your room when you're like 14 years old and just sort of mad and you have all these feelings and you like want to paint and you want a diary and you want to scream and you want to be artistic. That is who I am.
Yeah.
Like that is why I do comedy. I have so like there's so much torment and theoretical beauty and anger just lashing out at the world and not really considering everything. That's who I am. Like I still feel as a 35-year-old man, I am the album Jagged Little Pill. Like, I feel like the personification of the album. And I know that's weird, but I love cats. I'm a weird person. I'm a bizarre person.
I don't think it's weird. I think it's beautiful.
I was completely on board until the cats.
I know. And I've heard your cat slander before. I believe I listened to an episode recently with Nick Kocher where you said the only animal you should adopt is dogs. And I was like, oh, okay, so we all have problems.
Cats are fine without us. They don't need to be adopted. I've come prepared.
Who's going to feed a cat?
No one. They don't need to be fed. They'll kill for themselves.
That's terrible.
You remind me of many people in my life who are cat slanderers who haven't felt the love of the cat. The reason why cats are amazing is because dogs will just love you. It's like you could just be okay, anyone. Yeah. You could be a murderer. A cat decides whether they love you based on their based on your personality. You have to earn their love. They're divas. They teach you how to own like a space.
And then have it promptly destroyed by them.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
I'm starting to see the Jagged Little Pill. It's
good.
Coming
That's
out.
All I wanted. I just want you to see it.
I want to get you full Jagged Little Pill by the end
I'm
of this
so
episode.
Ready.
Your hair suddenly long
Should we get
black.
You some Manic Panic to dye your hair through the show?
Yeah.
Okay, I have so many notes about this damn song because it's so iconic. Of course, there's a plethora of information about it. If you don't know the song, you ought to know. I did not plan that. I swear to God.
And here I'm going to put a classic one Miel drop.
Damn, Miel, that's a classic joke.
Classic Miel.
Tell me Morissette.
Hey.
Oh, boy. Do I have to do one?
Yes, you do. Anything.
Fuck.
Sure, that works. She says fuck in the song.
Yeah, she says,
yeah,
when
that
you
works.
Fuck her.
Ooh. There we go. Yeah.
Okay, so it came out in 1995. For context, I was 6. However.
What the hell?
Okay. As if you don't know how old I am.
Yeah, wait, how old are you, Miel?
I do deeply remember this moment in pop culture history because all of the high school girls listening to this and their beat up old Subarus were so goddamn cool.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
This was everywhere. This even was an island culture thing. Can you believe it?
She made it across the sea.
She did.
Well, it's a shorter distance from Canada to the island.
True, and she is from Ottawa.
Yeah.
Or Ottawa. How do you say that?
You Ottawa, no.
Stop.
Okay. No, you nailed it. He earned it.
Demi, you're allowed to stay on this podcast.
Thank you.
So, can you believe that this is the lead single from her third studio album?
I thought it was her second.
I thought it was her first. And if you look at Spotify, it is her first. However.
Ooh, she got some deep cuts?
Get this. Alanis was a Canadian pop star in high school.
She was like, that's why this album is so fucking incredible, because it's a rejection of her past.
Yes. Yeah. Do you have those songs I told you
about? Oh, yeah. I grabbed one of them.
Can you just play like 10 seconds?
I had not heard this
before. This is Alanis.
This is like Paula Abdul. Also, it's great.
I mean, she can sing.
I know.
This is her
voice.
I know.
No, that's MC Scat Cat. Check this out. That's
I
want. Okay. I think that's so, like, I didn't realize that her past was that pop, and yeah. It's very funny to me because that sounds like a theme song for like a Saved by the Bell type show.
Yeah, or Kim Possible. Yes.
I also think, though, and I know you have more facts, but just to say it now, I think it explains Jagged Little Pill a lot more.
Yeah.
Because Jagged Little Pill is a record from like a 21-year-old woman or something, but it's because she lived so intensely as a young... So she already is like a 35-year-old angry woman.
Damn.
You know what I mean? Like, who's like not sure if she should freeze her egg. You know what I mean? And like, there's the rage there.
The life experience.
She's already lived so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, she aged quickly and more ways than one, but we'll get there. It
what,
won
she got like a Benjamin Button thing
shut
going
the fuck
on
up. Shut the fuck up. She won the Grammy for Best Rock Song and Best Female Rock Performance, and this is my favorite fact perhaps, lost song of the year. Can you guess to who?
Well, this was 95
96 Grammys.
I'm gonna say Celine Dion.
Okay, Jake,
that's wrong.
MC Scat Cat.
Close. Seal. Kiss, Kiss from a Rose.
Batman Forever soundtrack?
Yes, it did
Ooh,
win.
Ooh, shit.
Oh my God, that soundtrack was amazing.
Oh, is that the one with Bat Dance on it? Or is that a different Batman? No, that's the 89
Batman.
Was
that the Prince album?
Yes.
No, this was like, this was a terrible movie. Mm-hmm. I think Jim Carrey was the
Riddler.
The Riddler.
Sure
was. Mm-hmm.
But it was like Seal, and they had U2, like Hold Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me, Thrill Me. Like that, I had that CD soundtrack, and it was like amazing.
That was your post Jagged Little Pill come down chaser. Yeah, it's really hard to believe historically that a song as iconic as You Ought to Know lost to a song as just wildly shitty as Kiss from a Rose, but go figure.
Whoa,
we haven't punched that one up yet.
I know, but wildly shitty is your take on that? Interesting.
Love with you is like a drug addiction that I cannot deny. I mean, we're not, it's a different song.
My
it's fine.
Power, my pain.
Nope. Okay.
We'll get to this in another week.
However, this album did sell over 16 million copies.
I thought you were just going to stop at 16. I was like, well, probably.
Over 16 copies.
It's pretty good for something she made on a, I don't know.
Okay, so the story goes like this. She was in high school. She made these two albums. They were pretty good, but then her record contract was over. And eventually she meets this producer-songwriter, Glenn Ballard. Probably don't know that name, but he did work on Thriller, and he even co-wrote Man in the Mirror. So he was like kind of a guy. Kind of a guy.
Huh.
He believed in her enough to let her use his studio here in LA. So she came here. They started working together without any record label.
Just the description of she was on a label, the contract ended, and then some guy comes in. I'm just imagining like a Slugworth type deal. Like she's walking out of the record studio and he's just like, Alanis, I've got a deal.
No, I think their publisher like put them together for some reason. A lot of people just like did favors, but this is kind of a cool story because I do feel like this is generally how the entertainment industry actually works. It's just like, oh, I met this person at a party and then
there's a bunch of networking.
Right. So Alanis and that guy, Glenn, co-wrote the song. Alanis says, quote, I wasn't aware of what was coming out of me. I'd go into the booth when the ink wasn't even dry and sing. I'd listen the next day and not really remember it. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Glenn Ballard is drugging her.
I was going to say, it's like Bowie recording that entire album on coke and being like, I don't remember that album.
Wow. I mean, sometimes I wonder, are drugs good?
It's such a heart, because you get older and you see people destroying their lives, but just so much beautiful stuff happens.
I know,
and it's
I know
like,
that in 2018 we made a stance that drugs are
not good. But sometimes
but
it's
they?
Time to reconsider.
So then, okay, here's where the story gets interesting. A guy named Jimmy Boyle was somehow involved. I couldn't totally figure it out. I think maybe he engineered it, but he seemed to have a lot of power for just an engineer because he wanted a much angrier sound. They'd already recorded the song. They already had everything done. And he came in and was like, this has to be angry. So he took it in a new direction, hit up his friends in Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Dave Navarro's playing on this, right?
And Flea.
And Flea.
Oh, no.
Bass is Flea. Guitar is Dave Navarro. Which, by the way, this was a little tidbit for me. I didn't know he was ever in the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. He sure was.
He was in a bunch of different bands.
Jane's Addiction and Carmen Electra's
He's
husband.
The one who convinced them California was pretty cool.
Before their stance was, I prefer New York.
I love Montana.
I think it's really interesting if you listen to the song, it's very obvious that's Flea.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's very,
yeah.
very You're obvious right. that's
No
funny.
One else could just throw those like weird, like, it feels like.
It's wow, truly wow, insane. Wow, yeah. wow. He's just doing a totally different thing than
it
the rest of the
song. It feels like if it were a horn instrument that the person playing like ate a bunch of chili peppers just beforehand and then just started going, like accidentally blowing
like
on.
I feel like you heard Red Hot Chili Peppers and now you're like, chili peppers, chili peppers.
No. Have you not seen, there's like a video of an orchestra playing their instruments after eating like hot peppers and that's
oh,
what
no.
it is. Just like suddenly they just have pops of like
Who
loud
made them
sounds.
Do that?
I don't know.
They're
some,
classical musicians. They don't have to make YouTube
some
videos.
Goddamn YouTube prankster.
Glenn Ballard did it. He's Jimmy abusing Boyle. Everyone.
Jimmy Boyle said this orchestra has to be angrier.
So Flea says about this song, I love this quote. It was very instinctive. I showed up, rocked out, and split. When I first
I wish he said lickety split.
When I first heard the track, it had a different bassist and guitarist on it. I listened to the bass line and thought, that's some weak shit.
He's perfect.
It has no flash and no smash.
Oh, man.
But the vocal was strong, so I just tried to play something good.
Why does Flea sound like a 50s gangster?
Like a Hollywood 20s producer.
This
like,
is no good, Ma.
Well, that's what it all sounds like. Also, the name Jimmy Boyle. It sounds like it came out of L.A. Confidential.
It really
it's
does.
Like, it doesn't sound like a real person.
This
it's like,
was like that cool time in music where all the punk guys were still around and making shit, but like they didn't totally know their place yet.
Yeah.
And so like old Jimmy Boyle just like shows up in Atlantis and is like, this has got to be angrier, baby. Let's get Flea and Dave Navarro.
I do want to hear the original version of this that's not
I know.
Angry, though.
I looked everywhere. As far as I can tell, it's not been released.
On Spotify, there is a... an acoustic version in the Jagged Little Pill remaster, like the recent one, that there's a acoustic version that kind of, I think, sucks because it's like not angry. It's like really like sort of like soft and sweet. And it's like, no, I want it as if you're like scribbling in a diary and like breaking the paper from, you know what I mean?
Oh, 100. I did that many of times.
But it's interesting to hear it as an acoustic version because it's like, oh, it's just a song. It's just like literally like
a
song.
Not a catharsis anymore. Yeah.
Is this it?
Yeah.
No, this ain't it. Sounds like Buddha Bar.
I want you to.
This is just sad.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah,
like
I don't want to listen to this. Like I want you to know I don't like this.
She go down on you and
down on you.
Theater.
Nah.
Oh, she doesn't even a theater.
Yeah, so it's interesting, though, because it sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's just a simple, like, 2-3-chord song. Yeah.
It is interesting to hear things that are bad.
I will say...
So, thank you for listening.
Unlike
you must find
drugs, which are good.
Right. Drugs are good. Interesting things are boring.
A lot of hot takes this episode. I will say, if you listen to the song, though, critically, which we will... do shortly. It does a little bit sound like a karaoke track.
Sure. I mean, there is that aspect to it. Yeah. Yeah.
So here's a crazy thing. Apparently she recorded the vocals all in one take. That feels untrue.
I feel like you might be able to feel that near the end of the performance. Cause like the parts where she's like, when you fuck her, it feels like she's straining.
Yeah. Shredded. The guy, Glenn Ballard, said it was 11 o'clock at night. She sang it once. We were exhausted. That was it. That's the record. That's the vocals. From a
Lickety
vocal,
split.
From a vocal standpoint, no one has that much courage. Everybody wants to fix their shit. She never did. She just wanted it to be that. I'm just like, yeah, that's actually a pretty good point.
It's
that's very brave to put that out.
Yeah, and it works because it's such a raw album. Yeah. But that's also like saying like, people who want to make their music sound good are lame. You know what I mean? Like, it sucks when
Why
they want to make it sound
so
better.
Hard?
Yeah,
or with guys
loser.
Like the Beatles, they're in there 4 or 5 days just working on one song. Yeah. Not Alanis.
But it does work because it feels like she's straining and it really
Stream
fits her anger.
Yeah,
it worked. It definitely worked.
This song feels a lot like a diary entry that she sang in a very personal way. And I think if it were like produced and like you could feel like she was putting on a performance that wasn't,
it would lose something.
Yeah.
I agree.
It absolutely, I think it almost feels like it has to be a diary entry.
Yeah. I think that's why that acoustic version rubs us all the wrong way. Cause we're like, that's not what this is. That's not what this is.
No,
it should feel like you just made it up right now and you're talking to me. And the lyrics tell us that too. Speaking of lyrics, last thing I'll say before we get into the song, who it's about.
Well,
I mean,
we're
going
to have to talk about that.
We're going to have to? Okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, we can talk about it now, but I'm afraid that we'll get into it more later.
Okay, do you want me to say any of the notes I have? Because I do have a lot.
What if you say them now, and we can decide later if we want to cut it out?
Oh, my God. wish he would jump off the stairs at full speed. Okay, here's what I'll say. Everyone, I think, knows at this point, supposedly it's about Dave Coulier.
What?
Shut the fuck up. However, according to Snopes.
Oh, yeah, Snopes.
Still undetermined. Because this motherfucker has
multiplicity.
Has multiplicity, the Michael Keaton.
Yes, yeah. Your favorite.
Okay, has said multiple times that it was him. And multiple times that he's only saying that so people will stop asking if it's him.
Oh, he's trying to pull a Shaggy.
This motherfucker, I'm just so mad about all of this. Maybe more than anything that he's 15 years older than her.
Well, I think that's also kind of what it's about. I think that's kind of what the song's about. It like definitely is an older man.
I think everyone she dated was older. Yeah. I kind of get that sense.
Yeah.
And it's a little concerning considering she was like, what, 20, 21 when this came out? And they dated like years earlier.
Well, I think she wrote it earlier than that.
So I did do a lot of investigation into this because I truly was like, I want to figure out what the movie was. I may not have an answer, but they dated in like around October of 92 for a year.
So she was like barely 18.
She turned 18 July of 92.
What I think is, are we talking about Dave Coulier now?
We are a little bit.
Mr. Woodchuck.
What I think is really interesting about it and why I like to bring up the Dave Coulier thing is that like he was on Full House. And so like when you think of Full House, it's a really fascinating cultural touchstone because it's kind of the most milquetoast sort of like bullshit TV show ever.
Right.
It's yes. Like, I mean, if you like it, you like it, but it's horrific. I mean, it's like, it's not good.
It's not good.
It's comfort
Unlike
watching
drugs,
at best.
It's
yeah.
Not good.
It's the opposite of drugs.
Yeah. It's so bad, but it did.
Full House is rehab.
It's so bad. And so, but it has like spawned the truth about Bob Saget, where he's a monster. You know what I mean? Like he's like a psychotic man who like is very dirty and like hooks up with college students when he does college gigs. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but you know he's like
kind of a known thing.
Yeah, he like has sex with young women all the time and all that stuff. But he was like the dad, like the anesthetized dad on that show. And then Dave Coulier getting head in a theater, but he's like
more like on Coulier.
So it's kind of like it's just sort of like everything's a fraud. Yeah. That's what I like about what this song reveals. And is like, everyone's lying.
John Stamos doesn't really eat that yogurt.
No.
Times?
I thought you were.
How many times do I tell you shut the fuck up this episode?
It's your new catchphrase.
Yeah, it's so just weird.
I also just, this quote from Dave is so telling about his character.
Calling him Dave is, I don't know why. I was just like, hey, don't do that.
Okay, this quote from.
No, please.
From Uncoolie.
Right.
He's like, I called her and said, look, what do you want me to say to the media when these folks call me? And she said, you can say whatever you want. And he's like telling the media that she said, I'm like, this doesn't make you look good.
That
dude.
Sounds like the song's absolutely about him.
Well, he goes on to say that it really bugged him the line, I hate to bug you in the middle of dinner. Because he says, we'd already broken up. She called and I said, hey, you know, I'm right in the middle of dinner. Can I just call you back? When I heard that line, it was like, uh-oh.
He remembers that like that precise of a detail. It's just like, oh god.
Yeah, and then he goes, but I think nothing but the world of her.
It's interesting too, just sort of the relic of calling in the middle of dinner, where all of us now constantly text during dinner.
Oh, like,
it's
100%.
Not dinner is something to be interrupted. Yeah. It's not interesting.
No, we're not sitting around a table like talking with our families. Like, I have to hang up the landline now.
Yeah, it's super weird. But I feel like I would bet she's dated. As we said, a bunch of older guys.
Yeah. So
it's probably Dave Coulier and like five other motherfuckers. You know what I mean? And it's like an amalgamation of those people.
It feels like Dave Coulier.
LL Coulier.
Yeah.
So, Demi, don't make me say it again.
Say it.
Shut the fuck up. Okay, that is all I have. Finally, should we get into the fucking song?
I mean, we got to.
Okay.
I want you to know that I'm happy for you.
For you.
Yeah.
I wish nothing but the best for you both.
Ooh, ooh. It's so sexy and angry at the same time.
Like, such a perfectly, like, you can feel the angst in yours. Like, she's about to fucking explode with anger.
Yeah, I feel like this is, again, that beginning is sort of how I felt a lot as a kid. But it also reminds me, I feel this way when I rewatch my so-called life. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where I'm like, ugh, Catalano. You know what I mean? Just sort of like, it's like a step up in rage.
Yes.
Like, she hasn't been through, like, oh, guys telling her they want to be with her, fucking her, and stop talking to her again, like, yeah, which yeah. Alana says. But it is that sort of like, you know, it's just so many feelings, and I don't even know what they are. Yeah, they're great.
yeah, there's just, it's both lyrically, she's saying so much, and she said literally so little.
Yeah.
This is so sparse.
This is another reason why I'm so glad that this song was not, like, recorded a million times. Because I feel like the breaths and the way that she performs this part, it can't be perfect.
It's, like, kind of bad. A couple of those notes are super flat.
And also, not to, like, reference another song, but it's perfectly ironic. Like, she's saying the exact opposite of what she wants to get across.
Right. I mean, I think she does mean it, though.
I don't think, I wish nothing but the best for you both.
I do think that's true. I think she's like, hey, have fun with your new girlfriend, but I am very mad at you.
Oh, interesting.
But maybe that's just my projecting. I don't know.
I feel like it's like, oh, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like the end where it's like, every time I scratch my nails down someone else's back, I hope you feel it. I'm just like, you would not be like, I'm happy for you.
I feel like if Instagram had existed in this time, the equivalent is like her posting a bikini photo and being like, I'm so happy for you, Dave. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. It's like, look at my new beach bod. Fuck you, you bitch. You know?
maybe true. It's hard to say, though, because like, she's very deliberate with her word choices here,
sure.
I think.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the also, best like, for you both. Oh, it's so, I don't know how to explain it. Sexy angry. It's sexy angry, which is very exciting because I feel like women's anger is something that is very, we don't have a lot of avenues to express it in America.
Sure.
And every time I hear an angry woman song, like that Beyonce song from a few years ago, it's just such a thrill. It's such a treat.
That's interesting. Now that you say that, I feel like women's anger is best digested in a great pop song. I feel like that's...
And in no other way.
No, but I mean, like, it's not really accepted in culture.
No, it's not at all.
Yeah, but
we're
like,
hysterical.
In a song, it's like, oh, it's great. It's a brand.
And
you know
this
what
one
I mean?
Specifically, like, Taylor Swift, I guess her songs are angry, but like, that doesn't let me feel angry singing along with it. Whereas this shit, I can bump this and get out like maybe like 6 months of anger in one listen.
Yeah, I think part of like Taylor Swift's anger, and I am kind of a Swiftie, but what I'll say is she looks like money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She looks like money, so it's like nothing is that bad. Like
you're
doing great.
Like, she hides in a trunk to leave her apartment.
Alanis kind of is like, no, I know, but
no, I mean in the sense of like that's how rich she is.
Oh, yes. I mean, and she just looks, she doesn't look like a person.
It's the rawness isn't there. It's also generic. I don't believe her.
For sure. And even if it's real, I don't care because she has a billion, she's the iPhone of people. You know what I mean? It's not like, but like Alanis.
Maybe she's the iPod of people.
Yeah, she's the iPod of people.
Alanis is the old Nokia.
Yeah. And she's also just like Canadian, which is weird. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's sort of like she's Canadian and she has like, her hair's a little off. Like she looks like she's so cool, but there's something a little like grungy about her.
She's one of those.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm still in the phone metaphor. I'll move.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say she's one of those like Huawei phones that you're just like, who is that for? Who buys that?
Oh, I thought you were gonna say she's a burner phone.
It's like Huawei. I don't know. I'm just like,
have you heard of this?
Are you trying to get sponsored?
I mean, I'm not, but let's take an ad break and see if they picked up on this. We're back. Thanks, Huawei.
Okay, stop. Yeah, there's just nothing going on here except raw emotion.
Yes.
And that immediately, I'm like, go on. I'd love to hear what else you have to say.
Oh, yeah, it's exciting.
I know the version of me. Ooh. She perverted like
I
me.
I love bouncing on that like, go down on the end of the I had to stop it there so we could get into it.
Yeah, because that's like, when I heard that, this is what, 90, 95?
Yeah.
So I was born in 83. I was like, just having pubic hair, you know what I mean? Like I was just like, it's okay to have these thoughts because now and so when I remember hearing that and thinking like, oh, is that what adults do? Like no, I know, and they don't do that, but it's like when I would go to movies,
you'd
I'd be
looking
like,
around, who's getting their dick stuck in this
whoa, like are you, I guess this is sexy, like I was never really turned on
like,
in a theater,
a babe, it's like, in the city being like, who's getting the fucking
like, I'm there with my dad, you know what I mean? And so it just felt really bizarre, but that line I feel like was generational, like that was like, go down in a theater, it's like that is the height of
you
like perversion and like adulthood.
I'm sure that that set off a wave. Like, it was probably something that happened a few times, and this set off a wave of, like, well, we gotta try it.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely think a lot of people got kicked out of theaters for getting head. Absolutely. Because of Alanis. Yeah. Yeah.
There's probably some Alanis law that it's like, you cannot. You can't do this.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not even, like, logistically... There's no way to play that off. There's no way.
It's what are you talking about?
If it's an empty theater.
Like a hand job in the popcorn, at least you're like, eh, you could kind of disguise it.
You put your entire head in the bucket.
I'd like the head size of popcorn.
And then if you could carve a head size hole.
Yeah.
Or you pretend you're picking up a phone off of the... Off the floor, and if someone catches you, you get up real quick and it's like, oh, I found my phone.
And then the dick that's just out is like coincidental.
What, you don't have your dick out during the movie sometimes?
Well, how else do you enjoy the movie?
We've seen movies together.
It's where you're like, you know, some people like kick off their shoes in a movie. Some people take their dick out.
Some people put their foot on the chair in front of them. Yeah, some people put their dick on the chair in front of them.
Wow, that's too far for me.
Was that too far?
Now I'm thinking about sitting on an old dick. It's just that. No, no. I'm trying to see Black Panther.
A lot of thought about it a lot in the 80s. The other 90s, damn it.
The other thing, though, is that like... The word perverted is a little like creepy.
I'm
like,
a nympho.
Yeah, it's like you're 19. You know what I mean? Like perverted just means you like to fuck twice a day. Yeah. I think.
Or
that's
fuck
what
it all,
means.
Maybe. Yeah, if you're that young. You're I have sex.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like so fucking perverted. I fuck my boyfriend.
I shave my pubes.
Yeah, it's like that kind of thing. But it is like.
I went down him in a bedroom.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But it is powerful. Yeah. I remember hearing it and being like, just the word pervert.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the first time I'd heard agency of the word pervert beyond just sort of a slur.
Yeah.
Like you're a pervert meant like peeping Tom. Yeah. Yeah. It was cool. It was like,
I'm a pervert.
Yeah. It's cool. It definitely was the first time I'd ever heard a woman say that. So I was like, definitely like, I got to hear the rest of the song.
Let's bring it back.
Yeah.
Let's take pervert back.
Yeah.
I'll come out and say it. I'm a little perv. Ew, it's gross for you.
I'll come out and say it too. Miel's a little perv.
We're little pervs.
No, I said Miel is a little perv.
I'm a medium-sized perv.
So much worse. It's so much worse.
That's what I order when I want to get my dick sucked at the movies. Like,
with butter.
Extra butter.
I will say, though, an older version of me does break my heart. I don't care if she was a dick in this relationship, too. I'm immediately Team Alanis because something about the older version just makes me feel so sad.
I thought it was another version of me.
No, older.
Is it?
Isn't that so sad?
Is it like, because I think...
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. How I interpreted it, and maybe I read something about this, was that... So Alanis is like the young woman who's like, cool and smart or whatever and hot and stuff. And so like the older guy wants to fuck her and like dates her. And obviously she doesn't understand that she's not his equal yet, you know? And so then he probably wants to have a kid or something and she's not ready.
I don't think that's how it happens.
Well, that's what I read was a big part of it. Like Coolia wanted to start a family and she was obviously not.
Right. Yeah. I think I read that
with
somewhere
her, though?
Too.
Well, I don't know if it was just in general or...
I feel like
her.
That could totally be true. And maybe I'm just shitting on Dave Coulier for no reason. But... I have personally experienced and seen many friends experience older men wanting to date younger women casually.
Oh, yeah.
Have sex a lot, have some fun, and then move on to a serious girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah, and no, I think that's sort of what I meant.
The blanks I'm filling in here that I'm just like, oh, she didn't know.
No, and I think that's exactly what I mean.
It is also hot off the heels of him getting a divorce. Like, he got a divorce.
Yeah, so this was like
a
rebound for him, and this was like love for her. That's fucked, and it happens so often, and it makes me so mad.
Yeah.
And it's not the same older women to younger men. The power dynamic's just not there in the same way.
No.
Older men to younger women just... Ugh.
Isn't it amazing with all sort of the literature and music and movies about the mistakes people make when you're in your early 20s, people still keep fucking doing them?
Oh, like you
just
have
to... Everyone just has to fucking fuck up.
Well, it's because everyone... Like, when you're young, you think you're invincible, and you're like, well, I'm different, and I will know how to handle it. I've seen all the media about this. I know how to navigate the things.
And there are exceptions, of course.
Sure. But also, it's like, because you've seen the media, the people prey on you also have seen the media, and they are navigating it as well.
Yeah,
now they'll talk like, oh, that was so creepy, right? Ha, but I'm not.
I'm one of the good ones.
That's the sound of me winking. You can't hear it.
No, we heard it. I put in a little...
Oh, thank you so much. And then the fucking beat drop. Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, yeah,
man! Every single instrument, like, each instrument on its own does something that I think is... Here, I have the
dude,
stems.
This is where you realize that this is Flea on the bass. You're like, what's happening?
I... Okay, I'll play the vocals with the bass first, but just I want, because literally every instrument has like a cool thing that they come in with that at one point.
The best for you both.
So sexy.
I know the version of me. What is she perverted like me?
It's awesome.
What is he doing? This is, he did like, he's like, I'm just gonna fucking buck out on this one.
He's fucking rocking it. And so is Dave Navarro.
For he's like a solo at the top.
I know the version of me. Is she perverted like me?
It's so spacey.
Would she go on you in a theater?
Like, that is the most vibey guitar I've ever heard, and it's the first thing that comes in.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's bridge guitar.
It's kind of brilliant how it works. It's almost, it totally seems like works. Counterintuitive a little bit.
It totally works. It still sounds like a karaoke track, but I will blame that largely on the way we produced stuff in the 90s. It all sounds like karaoke now.
Mm-hmm.
The instrumentation's very cool and very weird.
I want to play the drums a little bit, too, just because it's... It's already there, but then...
I know the version of me.
It's like
that's
very
a fake kick drum.
I know, but it feels very hip-hop.
Yeah.
Which I also think is interesting because I think the lyrics of this song feel incredibly hip-hop. Like, the way she rhymes, like, an older version of me with perverted and, like, the... Because the love that you gave that we made wasn't... It's very,
yeah,
like...
there is some sort of inverted language in it that's
she's
really
fucking
cool.
Yeah, great. She's a really good lyricist.
I think that's the thing about her is she is, like, really brilliant.
Yes,
like,
she's
extremely
good.
It's like, she was doing this very young. So not only is it mature sort of content-wise and lyrically, but it's like... To be a pop star, I guess that it's obvious. Like, she was a pop star very young because she's amazing.
And she was ahead of the time musically.
Yeah.
Like, she set the trend for
this
a lot of these things.
This is very visionary.
I wish that I could be who I am now in, like, 1994 as this has been. Like, just to understand what this song is in the context of,
Of the time.
Of the time. And to be, like, a 19-year-old wrote this song. I would just be fucking floored.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. And also, again, like, she's not traditional really in any way. The fact that she was a pop star, she doesn't look like the rest of the pop stars.
No.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, she's kind of...
She's still hot as hell.
She's Canadian.
Yeah, she's hot, but
it's
commercially,
truly
yeah.
non-traditional. Yeah. And she's, again, Canadian. And it's like, it's just interesting. And
you're
going
to offend Marissa if you're not careful.
No, I love Canadians, but it just is bizarre when that crosses over
it's
so
well.
It's
lesser than us.
It feels like it has an American anger. It just feels like an American anger.
An American anger should be the title of your memoir.
Yeah, it's like, it's my fifth novel.
It's a very good point, though, and succinctly put. An American anger, I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Marissa, can Canadians get this angry in Canada?
I don't think so either.
Okay, so now shit's about to pop off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. We didn't even talk the theater thing. So what I wanted
what
to say...
What more is there to say?
Well, I wanted to say that I, for the purpose of the punch up, I truly was like, I think it would be funny if I just got it down to a specific movie based on what we know about the relationship.
Oh my God.
So I tried to do an investigation, but then I saw there was a comedian named Josh Patton who has already done an investigation, and he basically goes into detail, like we'll probably tweet a link out to this, but I think it is so interesting because he basically nails down the timing of the relationship to about October through July of 92 and 93, then nails down the movies to say like it wouldn't be a popular movie, it wouldn't be something playing in the holidays. It probably isn't certain types of movies because he's not going to get his dick sucked during like Tom and Jerry or something. So he nails it down to 10 movies and then concludes that the movie that she got that she gave him head during is Body of Evidence, starring Madonna and Willem Dafoe.
I used to have that VHS.
Yeah.
Also, Alanis is signed at this time to Madonna's record label.
Oh, wow.
Even more incentive to go.
She's walking down the hall.
She probably did. Yeah. This was probably actually a premiere.
He's like, look, it costs us nothing if we get kicked out of this, so what do you think?
And Madonna probably was cool with it, too. She was like, oh, head? Yeah, absolutely.
She's like, that's what the movie is for. Anyway.
Wow. Thank you for your research, Timmy.
Josh Patton.
I
literally was like, you should see the notepad document I have. I was like, this is exactly how
that's
I'm going
amazing.
To read it
just
on
red
air.
String all over your room.
Oh, might as well be.
Okay, are we ready to move on now?
Let's move on.
Okay. Did she speak eloquently? And did she have your baby? I'm sure she
made a really excellent mother. Oh, the way she pronounces every part of this.
What if that was the inspiration for the Darren Aronofsky film?
I was just thinking that, and how much better of a film that would have been.
Really excellent mother!
The way she pronounces these words is transcendent.
Yeah.
Truly.
Eloquently.
This song would not be as good if she didn't say theater.
No.
Mother. Like, I need it now.
I am curious to hear, like, the most baseline of pop stars sing.
No, it was just a bummer.
No, I'm just mean like if I couldn't hear, if I like didn't know the Alanis song and I had to hear the words and like the music transposed to just being pronounced like normal, like is the anger there? Like nah. What's yeah?
You know what's interesting? This is a little lame to bring this up, but when I took some poetry classes in college and I would have to learn iambic pentameter.
Pentameter.
Yeah. Pentameter. I learned it real well. But the point is that sometimes there was a moment where the word fire, and I'm from the Northeast, so I say fire. So I thought it was two syllables. And my professor was Southern. He's like, fire is one syllable. You're a Yankee. And so I was like, oh, I know. It's fire.
Don't be bringing that Yankee talk on down here, boy.
And so I was like, oh, that taught me like people think of things differently. It just reminds me.
That
like,
was what taught you that people think of things
differently. Yeah, because I'm also from the South End.
Wait, yeah, but to this point, you're just like, all right, everyone's the same.
I thought everyone was on the same page.
Yeah.
And then the fire thing really blew the light
Yeah, man, it taught me about Alanis, too.
Far. Now listen here, boy. You're coming down from the North with all that different talk. We don't do that here.
Did happen.
You're just like, well, people are different.
Fire.
It's true. I don't think this is a Canadian accent.
I'm from the South, and I always have thought of it as fire, like two syllables.
It's two syllables. I'm from the Northwest, fire. And it's two syllables.
Well, I'm just telling you what I experienced.
Right.
Your professor was a fucking liar.
Sounds like you experienced some prejudice.
He was a liar.
He was anti-Semitism.
He was a liar.
It was a liar.
I can't even say it.
Instrument.
Liar, pants on fire.
Far. Pants or on Bob Dylan far. Fan. One of the two.
Wait, was your professor Kevin Spacey in House of Cards?
It was.
Stop. We don't talk about him anymore.
The character, not the person.
Okay, honestly, don't have a ton to say about the words here. They're all just painting this picture out more fully, beautifully, very succinctly.
It sort of makes it sadder. Just like, does she speak eloquently? Is that like a thing that she has been criticized for?
I'm sure. It sounds very specific.
Yeah.
And then also, I'm sure she'd make a really excellent mother. To me, feels true. I don't think she's being sarcastic with that comment. It feels like she's like, no, I'm sure she would.
Yeah.
But I guess I wouldn't, huh?
I agree with that. And it's like, okay, you don't have the connection that we have, but she'll be a mother if that's what you really want.
That's what you want.
I'm reading it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like breaking my heart and simultaneously like getting me an anger hard on.
Yeah. Well, is there any other kind is the real question.
An American anger hard on.
I only get a hard on out of spite, personally.
Spite gives you a righteous erection.
I got to get into a fight before I have some sex.
Bang, anger bang. That's where it comes from.
Anger bang.
Yeah, that's where it comes from. Okay, we got to keep going, though, because I'm actually too excited for the next part of the song. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait anymore.
Here we go.
So hard not to sing along. Oh, I can't believe you popped.
That's a very sort of hip hop part.
Yes.
The love that you made that you get. Yeah. It's sort of like, yeah.
I think it's very impressive.
That's also the part when people try to karaoke, they will fail.
Yeah.
Almost every time, because there's one extra syllable in there. You don't
the
think it's going
to
be.
The love that we made wasn't able to make it enough for you to be open wide.
That's so cool rhythmically.
Yeah.
That is so
cool.
Fun
yeah.
to sing along to.
Yeah.
This is the hardest punch up we've ever attempted to not sing along while we're listening to it. I'm like, you got to be able to hear it, but also I really want
to
sing it.
The love that you gave that we made wasn't able to make it enough for you to be open wide.
Well, it's funny because like that's one of those lyrics where you hear it and you're like, totally. But then you really think about it, you're like, I don't know what that means. Like, if you put me on the spot, I'm not really sure I could explain it. But when I hear it, I'm like, absolutely,
okay,
Alanis.
I think I get it.
I think the first
part. Can I take
part,
a stab?
I'm like, yeah.
Okay. I think it's like this love that we made that was so strong between us in this intimate setting couldn't survive out in the world, in the open, wide spaces.
Does that mean that he didn't want to like, he didn't want people to know they were dating in public?
Maybe, or maybe just that like their love wasn't viable beyond their very like intimate connection.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of ways to read it. That's just to me, how it speaks to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the wide is, maybe it's referencing the birth canal and having a baby.
Might be referencing her mouth in the theater.
I don't know what you just said. How is everyone here?
Might be for the best.
I think it is. Yeah. Okay. I did understand it, and we can move on.
I am going to repeat it.
Thank you.
Might represent her mouth in the theater.
God, that's so hard for you to say. Do you want to try it again?
Look, these words are not. I can't make my mouth open wide.
Okay, try it again.
Might have been. Wait. I forgot. This is the least important. Might have represented her mouth in the theater.
Might have represented her mouth.
Okay, well, that would then infer that Dave Coulier has a chode.
Would that shock anyone?
No,
I don't want to think about Dave Coulier's dick.
Because the width of a blowjob is not usually part of the discussion.
Although I will say, do you think that in the theater he said that you should pull it out?
Stop. No, why would he oh, his penis?
Yeah.
I was assuming you mean before climax, and I was like, I don't think he's the type that's like, no, don't let me come in your mouth. Please, no. Although, if it gets on the popcorn, you think he's, okay, I'm going to stop.
Miel, this is a child.
Who's a child? The person listening?
Yes. Miel, there are children listening to this in the cars.
Well, they need to know what goes on in theaters.
Yeah, they can't get taken advantage of like Alanis.
I'm sick of children not knowing what happened in Body of Evidence.
Okay.
I thought the open wide was just like to be vulnerable.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he never dropped his guard around her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good interpretation
too.
He
kept doing fucking cartoon voices.
We also took poetry classes. So.
Oh, did you?
No. We didn't have it in my high school on the island.
They taught me about limericks. Shut the
fuck up. There once was a man from Nantucket.
Once was a man named Coulier.
Stop. No, you're not
going
to get
I'm
this
not going
line.
To. I'm not going to.
Don't hurt yourself.
I could.
Don't hurt
yourself.
Okay.
Could.
All right. Yeah, you know what? You can't go.
There once was a Coulier from Nantucket. When he saw Alanis's mouth, he wanted to fuck it. Sorry.
Body of Evidence. He made it quite evident when he pointed his dick and said, suck it.
We did it!
A terrible
For
limerick.
The record, you rhymed evidence with evident.
Yeah, I think I did suck it twice.
Little Alanis over here.
Shush, shush, shush. Let's move on.
This is the first part of the song where the bass starts to feel like Flea was just like, well, hold on. I want people to hear me.
He's like playing the Seinfeld opening theme under this part of the song.
I do. Wait, can I play the.
Please yeah. do. It's fucking insane. What is that?
This is a fucking porn note.
He could have just held on one note. He didn't need to do this.
This is a 70s car chase.
He was like, so wait, let me get straight. This is the part of the song where you start to scream and we're building to that? What if it sounds like a cat and mouse, like in the 70s in a jazz club?
You know what it also sounds like? If I mute the guitar, I think this is Limp Bizkit.
Oh my god, it is. Oh my god, it is.
Oh, that's so true.
Yep. Yep.
Alanis is just a female Limp Bizkit, but she's better.
Yeah, but it works. Like, if you had her as the lead singer of Limp Bizkit, you'd be like, yeah.
Like a jump. Hey!
Well, it's like
to
this
back
world.
The fuck up. And then, okay, what did she actually say? The saddest part in the whole song?
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
And every time you speak her name, does she know how you told me you'd hold me until you died? Till you died, but you're still alive.
Oh.
Everyone has been through that.
Yes.
That's like a
Not
that's
me.
That's like a truly sort of that relate that. Yeah, that just reminds me of so
relatable.
Many relationships where they're like, oh, you're the one for sure. And like 2 months later, it's over.
Oh, and also how she sings it. The way that it relates to the melody here, every part of it, I'm like, I want to scream along, but a part of me is crying.
Honestly, I'm glad it is angry because I'm only now sort of coming to terms with how sad it is. I'm
it's
just like,
so
any
sad.
Other pop song, we'd be like, this is
poetic.
Sad.
What's amazing about it, though, it is sad, but it's also like she kind of wishes he was dead.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
which is amazing.
But
you're still alive. Like,
wish
oh, well,
were...
it'd be fine if you were dead.
I wish the next time I was like, and I'm coming for you.
And I'm here. To kill you.
We don't make, get him.
It's so well written though, and it's shocking
that's
that
so
this
good.
Came out of a 19, 20 year old's mouth.
Yeah.
Because I was in a relationship with a man 10 years older than me, and I was writing shit like, my heart broke, like the vase you knocked over at my Westwood apartment.
You gotta scream it.
That was cool.
My heart broke. Like the vase you.
No, I wrote a song about him, and the first lyric, I was 19. Okay, I would like to say I was 19. First line of the song, you look like, you look like you're eating a lime all the time.
Wait, that's a great line.
Can then you read what Alanis is writing?
You look like you're eating.
I just think if you sing it in the right way, we'd all be like, Miel's got something.
Don't know. It's not Alanis, that's for sure. Okay, and then the here, did you clip that again for the chorus section? Because I would love to talk about the way she sang here.
Yeah.
And I'm here! No, she does not lilt it on the first one. In fact, it's very flat. She goes, and I'm here! And I'm here!
Oh, wow.
It's amazing.
It is great.
She got lost in the sauce, and I love it.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like Matt Stone, Trey Parker-ish.
Yeah, so many. Yeah.
A little, and I'm here.
It's, oh my God, it's Cartman.
And I'm here.
I'll never unhear that it's Cartman now. I'll never unhear that.
Can you play the whole chorus now? I'm so excited to hear it.
And I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. Oh. It's not fair to deny me.
She sounds good.
She sounds great. I'm so glad this was a one take.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh. See, that's the thing. Please, like, I'm still here. Don't worry, guys.
Just took a little break.
But what is so masterful about her performance is that she manages to sound pretty while screaming. That's hard to do both at the same time. She could have just screamed this and it would have sounded cool.
Yeah.
Or she could have just sang it and it would have sounded pretty. But she found a way to do both. That yodel thing, like, that hurts your throat. She deserves those Grammys. That's what I gotta say.
Do you think that she made it hair to rhyme it with fair?
No, I think she just was excited. And I'm here!
And I'm here!
It's like a prospector.
To remind you!
Okay, also, I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. Imagine hearing that at, like, a poetry reading. You would cry.
You would just be like, yes!
No, you would be like, honey, I'm so sorry.
It also, I don't know, the image I have is that she shows up and Dave Coulier and his new partner are having dinner, and that's what she shows up and she's the waiter. And she's like, I'm here to remind you. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like that kind
she's
of
thing. She's got a gun
thing.
Under the. Yeah. There's no food on that tray.
It's really. And
or does she like walk in like mariachi band style? And she plays or does it like say anything outside the restaurant? Yeah. I wish I had something negative to say about this. I don't.
I don't know how
to criticize this.
It's so good.
It's so legendary. Everything about this is legendary. Her vocal performance, Flea's bass performance. If I could change one thing, I might tweak his bass playing a little bit. It's cool. I just thought it was best.
You would tweak this?
What does he think this is?
He thought that You Ought to Know was a joke, and he's like, I gotta come in with the bass line for that.
Yeah. What did he say? I gotta find that quote again.
He didn't have any flash.
It was no flash and no smash.
So he came in with a little.
Is that flash or smash?
I think it's both.
Okay, thanks, Flea. Thank you so much, Flea.
Sorry.
Like a TV show sting.
It absolutely sounds
like a single cam TV show.
The friends from Friends just left one apartment and they've gone to another. Joey! Family Matters was shot live before a studio audience.
Oh my God. Okay, what's next?
Okay, next is.
Fucking asshole. Oh, wait, I forgot the second half.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about
the
second half.
Sorry. It's not fair to deny me of the cross I bear that you gave
this
to me.
Is the cross I bear just the emotions that she is left with after being broken up with?
I mean, I think it's open to interpretation.
It just feels like a very loaded phrase.
It could also be like all of his bullshit.
Yeah. Or even it could be physical shit he left at the apartment. It could be emotional baggage of his that he put on her and now she's left with.
I feel like a lot of people mishear this as cross-eyed bear, which is funny to think of that as the cross that she bears.
Oh, a cross-eyed bear.
Yeah.
A cross-eyed bear. Okay. I thought you were just putting the same sentiment in future tense.
Oh, the cross I would bear.
Yeah. Different thing entirely. And then the way she screams that you? Yeah! I don't know how she does that. Can you play that? Do you have an isolated vocal there?
Yeah, one second.
I would love to hear what that sounds like. Yeah! That is...
It sounds like one of those yodelers. Like,
That's like an animalistic vocal performance.
It's pretty amazing.
I really think it's appropriate only in this Only on
it almost
song.
Sounds like she's just saying the letter U. Yeah. Like, it's not like the word U. It's just, yeah. Like, it's like I don't know. I can sort of see it.
It's
pronouncing. Looks like the letter U.
Yeah. It's like she's like,
she's right.
Sliding up and writing it up. Yeah.
She's dipping in a roller coaster as she's just saying U.
Exactly. That's what it sounds like to me.
I love how visual you have made this.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it sounds like. Also, you can tell she distorted the mic on that. She's like, you can hear that it doesn't sound good, but it sounds...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That sounds like a seagull.
It does.
That sounds like a bunch of fucking seagulls. And the best part is you didn't know until you listened to it isolated.
No.
It so works in the song.
Yeah.
You ought to know, because you heard the song a million times. I'm sorry. I'm going to go home now.
I'm so glad I have that now.
Okay, then things come back down.
Oh, right.
And we get back into sex angry.
Mm-hmm.
Sex angry. I'm going to find some way to describe this. That R&B drum. What is happening?
It sounds like a Moby song.
Quite as well. I thought you should know.
Oh! So much breath.
I love that this is a more honest, like, it feels like the way that she starts the song, it feels like you can maybe feel like she doesn't feel what she's saying, but this is so honest and in the same cadence. Yeah. I really love that.
You seem really well. I'm not actually doing so good.
It sounds like a text. You know what I mean? It sounds like this is the first time they're texting for a while. You seem well from your Instagrams, you know. I'm not doing so hot, but it's nice to text with you, Dave.
It's the holding back of I really want to say so much shit to you right now.
I dare you to go through a breakup and just text this like a couple weeks later.
Jake, we dare you to go through a breakup.
Okay. For the sake of this podcast.
I think it's worth it.
And then send us a screenshot. We'll post it to the Instagram.
You're going to get so many likes off this.
And then see what the response is. I thought you should know.
Yeah.
What the fuck would you say to that?
I'd be like,
okay.
Yeah, why did you think I should
know? To be honest, if I got that text, I'd be like, she's going to kill herself. You know what I mean? I'd be like, oh, fuck.
You send back just like a smiley gif.
Yeah.
Just the upside down smiley. Very cryptic.
I also like the idea that they send like the ellipses with I'm ... not ... quite as well. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Either maybe she's going to die or I will.
All one word texts in a row. There's a lot we could do here, folks.
Just thought. ... You? What's in that? Should know. Okay.
I will critique that fake drum kit.
What?
Could do without that.
Oh, but I love it so much.
It's quintessentially 90s, and I get...
Yo, this is a story all about how I like
This is just a Moby song.
Yeah. Wait, what's that porcelain song? Fuck, shit. I got it.
Hey,
not Moby. That's not Moby.
I was like, I don't even know what that is.
That's Return to Innocence by Enigma. Hello.
Oh, I don't know it. Was that in one of the Matrix movies?
Jungle to Jungle, baby.
Oh, sorry. That's my generation's Matrix movies.
Your generation's Matrix was the Matrix, asshole.
Agree to disagree.
Fucking 1992, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then, the band comes back in and we lose that shitty R&B beat.
It's great.
Okay.
Did you forget about me?
Oh, I'm glad we got that bass walked up.
Publicity. I hate to bug you in the middle of dinner.
Dinner!
There was a slap.
Here's the bass part I love.
Quickly I was replaced, and I am making money when you fuck her.
It feels like Flea was also surprised by what was going on there. He's like, I was replaced. You were?
Or he was sleeping and woke up and then played that note. Oh, shit.
He just put like one of those dippy birds on the bass.
My only issue with that section is Mr. Duplicity. It's just like, okay. Like, that's like the weirdest sort of, it's like a nickname she has with her friends about him.
Yeah.
And it feels a little just sort of insane.
It's very Carrie Bradshaw of her.
That's a great point.
It's so written.
Yeah.
Also reminds me of the Michael Keaton film Multiplicity.
I literally,
which I do love.
I looked at, because I was like, if the movie that she was sucking dick in, which I hate to say like that because it's a sad affair now, was Multiplicity, I'm going to freak out. It wasn't, but no. Just...
Duplicity was later.
I also looked up Duplicity because I was like, was there a movie back then called
like an animated dog or something?
Well, there's the 2009 Duplicity. Movie Duplicity, but
Duplicity just feels like she looked at a thesaurus and was like, I need to get this rhyme in.
No, so. Duplicity feels like stripper twins.
That's so much better.
But it does, yeah, it sticks out.
That's
like,
so much better.
Thank you. It does stand out as a line that suddenly feels non-vulnerable, which amidst the rest of this is like, no, that's not what we're doing here.
But I really love, and we've talked about it a little bit, but the way bug you in the middle of dinner, because the way she says it is like, he basically picked up the phone. He's like, I'm in the middle of dinner right now. And she's I'm sorry I bugged you in the middle of dinner.
Bug you in
she
the
She says it so fast.
Yeah. Dinner.
Yeah, everything else, and especially fuck, she holds out for dramatic effect. Her. But on dinner, it almost sounds like she's mocking him. She's doing his voice.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Right?
I wish she
I
had
hate
full
to
on.
Bug you.
She should have just done one of his cartoon voices.
Like Bullwinkle?
I hate to bug you in the middle of dinner. Or
he does, voice. He does Bullwinkle, right? That's like
yes.
his thing.
I hate to bug you in the middle of dinner.
It's so much funnier.
Bug you in the middle of dinner.
Oh, I heard a punch on dinner.
Huh?
I think dinner was a punch in.
Oh, really?
Did you hear? Middle of dinner.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay, well, not one take, and I was lied to. I was fucking lied to. It's
it
fine.
Also sounds like she has been, like, crying. The way that she does the gat, like, the breathing is like, it was a slapper. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's so raw and emotional.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I do think this is one of my favorite vocal performances. Maybe ever. Not because it's good, because it's feeling.
A lot of us hears that, it's like, but it's good,
but
too.
But it is good.
And you're like,
but
it's
not feeling
good, but it's feeling. You mean, sound like the kind of a producer that comes in with like $1 million and it's like, can't give any good notes, but you're just like, it feels purple to me today.
Okay, now I need to take a nap.
It's juice time.
Okay, it was a slap in the face. How quickly I was replaced. Great rhyme. Also true. Oh, shit. And are you thinking of me when you fuck her?
That's awesome.
Whoa, she just said it. She just said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who gave her permission?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Who gave her the right? Glenn?
It actually was Glenn. I heard that she was like, this is really, I don't want to be mean. I just wrote this when I was angry. And he was like, yeah, don't be afraid to be angry.
And then Jimmy Boyle comes like, make it angrier.
Yeah, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
A, just for a woman at all, because I've never been told to get angry. In fact, if anything, I've been told the opposite my whole life. But on top of that, in a song, as like a tender young teenager, to have grown executives being like, just go for it.
Yeah.
Just get it. That's
really
the
heroes of the story are the men that allowed her to be mad.
Yeah.
I've been saying that for so many years.
It's Miel's catchphrase.
Thank the men. For every great woman, there is a man.
I real quickly
There's
just want
There's a man telling her to punch in the word dinner.
I really quickly want to listen to this part where bass Flea does the like stepped in like womp, womp,
ba-da-do. Please do. In the middle of- That's like someone just slipped on a banana.
It's all this entire thing. I feel like our punch up should have just been like weird. We're like voicing a scene from a sitcom just to this.
That would have been.
Wait, was that real?
Yes. It genuinely sounds like it was a mistake.
I thought you were like fucking with it.
No, here is the. It feels like a mistake.
It feels like someone's tuning up a trombone or something. It's like it doesn't sound like a bass.
It sounds like they were playing on a keyboard and he hits the settings on like one note and it goes to two, but he's like, no, fuck, go back.
Oh shit, I'm still figuring this thing out. Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
I turn it up that time.
Oh my god. I've never noticed that before.
It's my favorite.
Hey, it slaps and slams. That's not what he said.
It slaps, it slams. It,
ooh, oh.
It rips, it shits. If it chips, it fits.
We cannot top that. We have to move straight on.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So then the bridge happens again and the chorus happens again.
Oh, yeah. The pre-chorus and then the chorus.
Yeah. And then after another rousing round of parabola use.
I love this.
See, for this, song loses me. This really? Feels like a different song.
It's surf rock.
It is.
It's just also like any song where this is happening is just like you just didn't know what to do.
This is a cult ritual. Yeah. Seance music. And now like someone's dancing at this ritual.
Yeah, this is the part of like
it doesn't really connect.
No. This feels like, I don't know, something. Just vocalize over something. And now I'm back on board. Oh, you fucking dick.
What did I do? I
got so excited to rock out again.
I just want a super cut and you just be like, shut the fuck up. Oh, you fucking dick. Oh, shut the fuck up.
2019, I'm mean now.
That's what I knew. Now?
But, yeah, you're right. I mean, I get what they were trying to do. It just doesn't work for me. A bridge. I don't know. It dropped the energy so hard that all I'm doing the whole time is going, come back. Now come back.
Wonder if she had been singing like lyrics in that part, would I have liked it more?
What else is there to say?
Just list more things he did that were shitty.
No, I'm not gonna try.
You met my parents and you did a voice from one of your fucking cartoons. Wait, what were you gonna?
I was just gonna talk about what he did about like a washer and dryer set. What? I don't know why my brain went there. It doesn't even make sense.
A washer and dryer set.
I'm just imagining if he's the kind of guy that gets head during movies, like what does he do during laundry?
During lunch?
That's where my brain
probably
went.
Get head as well. He probably loves head.
No, I feel like, okay, listen.
Well, Alanis just hit start on the washer. We got about an hour before I got to change this bad boy over.
In my mind, and I know this is extremely A to Z of me, but like, when he like loads the washer up, because remember, this is the 90s, okay?
Oh, no, I'm
back don't know if
there.
You remember how washers totally were, but there. You could keep them open while they were running.
Uh-huh. What the?
In my mind, he's like, they're getting washed anyway. He jerks off into it.
What?
It's just a kink.
Okay, well, this is way more about you than anything. This
also,
nothing to do with the song.
This is your first thought of what he...
I'm just, if then what else he get, okay? He jerks off into the washer.
Those aren't related in any way.
In my brain,
so
they are.
So he's like, so wait, hold on. So yeah. Is he on a ladder? Like, is he on a ladder jerking off into the spinner?
Step stool.
He's very tall and he has very tiny...
Because there's a step stool in a laundry room.
Yeah. And no, totally.
Wait, it's in a laundry room? It's not even his house.
No, no, it's a laundry room within his house.
Oh,
he's rich.
Oh, my God. I thought you were just like, he's going down to like the basement of his apartment building. He's like, well, no one around. I am going to jerk off into this washer.
He probably also does that. He gets head in a movie. You're the crazy one. I'm correct.
I don't think that these two are on the same scale, but I also just love that I went, I wonder what else he does, and your brain was like, oh, he jerks off into laundry.
He does jerk off into laundry.
But that's your first thought.
I'm from an island. I don't know.
That's fair. That's
My
fair.
Brain wasn't shaped correctly.
They jerk off into laundry at the island.
Maybe. Someone probably did.
What do you mean?
We get really bored on the weekends, so we don't have anything to do.
Yeah, this is the first I've ever heard the scent, like the idea of jerking off into laundry ever put together.
I just made it up right now.
I know, so I don't believe for a second that on your island someone probably did.
Okay, you're telling me there's no pervy 12-year-old that just found out he can come that's not like,
so into wait, the so washing what, machine?
And yeah. Your justification is it's going to get clean anyway?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter?
And if I am to be this 12-year-old perv, which again, perv, bring it back.
yeah.
I could imagine
and
seeing.
And she's doing the hand she's motion right motion. Now because we don't know what it is.
It's a very soft
it's
way she's doing
up
it.
Near her chest.
She's not doing it. She's not doing it the way that you would like hold a dick. She's doing it the way that you would like palm
a salt shaker.
But like the way that you would palm a card in a magic trick.
It's like when you try to do that like rubber pencil thing.
Yeah.
That's the wrist motion. Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, oh, hey, I have all this new juice.
You're signaling to a waiter for a check.
Hey, washer that I'm talking to.
Listen, hey, our friend.
How'd you like another load?
Listen, no shit. He said this on the podcast. I'm allowed to say it. Our friend Ben Kahn has jerked off by humping a toilet and then coming into the toilet
That is
bowl.
So different than into
How is that? That is so same universe.
How do you think a washer is the same as a toilet? They do the opposite
Home
thing.
Home appliances full of water.
Wait, okay.
Hump to toilet? Like, what does that mean?
He rubbed his dick on a porcelain toilet.
He pretended Which part of the toilet?
The part that looks like a lady bending over.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Yeah, that's cool.
You're the crazy ones. Just because you guys Shout don't do crazy shit with your dicks.
No, I get it. No, I'm into it.
I'm just saying I do not have it on good authority. However, in my imagination, he also jerks off into the washer. Or at least he did for a brief stint in the 90s. It was the 90s. things were kind of weird.
You know what? It was the 90s.
It was the 90s.
Man, the economy was starting to flourish.
I didn't mean to talk about this for so long.
Can we just start a rumor that Dave Coulier is coming into Maytag?
I would love to not get sued.
It is very specifically Maytag washers.
Are you trying to get sponsored?
You're trying to get sponsored. Yeah.
Do you think Maytag's going to sponsor us?
Are you trying to get sponsored by Maytag or cum?
We already got the cum sponsorship ages ago.
Okay, good.
You can actually see us live pretty soon. We'll be wearing our cum shirts.
It's actually, no, not going to say it. Translucent. It's fine. Okay.
No!
After we just walked away out of that horrible bridge, and then I took you through like an emotional bridge, I would love to get back to the song.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. How do we jump right back into it?
Oh, I think she's going to take us there.
Like diving into a washer.
Stop. Woo, drums! Oh my God, I've never paid attention to the words here. She said, because the joke that you laid in the bed, that was me, and I'm not going to fade as soon as you close your eyes.
Yeah.
Holy, and then she goes, and you know it.
And
as
you
if
know
he
it.
Like keeps remembering having sex with her.
Yeah.
She's so confident about how good she is at fucking, she and she was so spectre. Young.
Well, I don't know if that's what...
Oh, yes, it is.
Really?
Are you thinking of me when you fuck her?
Well, I just think the, because the, that part.
Because the joke that you laid in the bed, so she's like, yeah, you think I'm a joke now? Okay, so it's sad. And then she goes right on, that's me, I'm not going to fade as soon as you close your eyes, and you know it. And you know it, there's something there.
And you know it.
It's like, no, you're going to think of me.
I do like to think of him just sleeping, and then he just wakes him in the middle of the like, Alanis!
Yeah, I bet that did happen. It's so confident.
I know, and she was so young.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Is that, hey Marissa, is that how girls are in Canada? No, okay. I don't know. I've never heard of a young girl that confident, so I just thought maybe it was a Canadian thing, but you know, it's not. That's fine.
Whoa!
Can you feel it? Well, I'm here!
Ugh! I can't believe you cut it there again. You keep getting me so into it that you cut me off.
Well, I'm here!
Wow. She said, and every time I scratch my nails down someone else's back, I hope you feel it.
Such just great image.
Yeah.
Right?
Just a great image. It's just great writing.
That's great
writing. It's just great writing.
Although, here's what I will say. Now, I have a counterpoint. No.
Well, actually.
Well, what is the... Scratching her nails down someone else's back is supposed to be, like, a negative thing. It's not, like, a romantic, like, scratching someone's back.
No, sexual, man.
It's very sexual.
She's saying, like, when
it's
I'm
like
having rough
so
sex...
so into fucking that she's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, Demi, got do it. You have... bad sex? Now I'm worried you didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, of course I have bad sex. Are you kidding? Look at me. Look at the shirt I'm wearing.
You do look like a...
Go on Instagram and look at the shirt I'm wearing.
Listen,
look at the face I'm making.
May I? You look like a toddler that works at a Wiener Schnitzel.
Yes, I really... I do. I look like a Playmobil toy come to life.
Yeah! That's
like
exactly what you should put in your Tinder.
Gender-bent version of... The gender-bent version of life size.
Yeah. No, it's like a sex thing.
But for real, though, I'm great at sex.
No,
so what were we going to say?
You got an A in sex ed.
I got an A in sex. They taught me how to do it so good, I've never forgotten.
You aced it. Every time I scratch my nails, being like, when I'm fucking, and it's
yeah.
And then probably alluding to that she did that with him, too. I'm just guessing.
Oh, yeah.
That she's like, I hope you feel
she's
it.
She's just like, I'm awesome at fucking, you know it, and you fucked up, you fucking idiot. Now I'm going to go fuck a lot of other guys, and you're going to
And she's
think
putting
about
that
it.
Image in his head, too.
Yeah.
God, I love what she did here. I can only dream of being this confident and specifically eloquent in my burns.
Yeah.
That is an art.
Eloquently. Like, she had time to write it. This isn't wilding out, you know? That's my frame of reference for this song.
Okay, your generation's wild and out. Got it.
Yeah. Nick Cannon is the Alanis Morissette.
Okay, can you please hit me with that last chorus and tell me you did not break it up again?
I think I might have accidentally misclipped it, so I'm just going to play it as is.
Thank you, God.
Well, I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away.
Yeah.
Dave Navarro on the same note.
it's so awesome. Powerful the way that all just drops
it's
out.
It's so awesome.
Oh my God!
Here's the thing. Does she say the crust I bear?
No. What a weird.
Oh, the crust I bear.
It's cross.
It sounds like crust.
What a weird. What? That's the first thing you say.
Because I heard it as she said, I was like, crust? That's not a word. Anyway, great song. I'm just saying, what do we do on this
Hang
podcast?
On, guys. Did she say crust?
Miel's over there just like, this is power. This is everything. I'm just like, crust? What's she talking about? Canada?
Don't give
I
me too
wish
much credit.
That your listeners could see how much you felt that. Like, oh, it's almost unfair there was no visual. You just so it's rocked the fuck out.
You can't help it, yeah. man. It's yeah. physical.
No, it is. It is physical.
Like, I've heard this song well over 1,000 times. I've heard it done at karaoke well over 1,000 times. I still fucking can't help it.
So one of the other things that why I picked this song was because I've been listening to Jagged Little Pill for the last year. Because I went through a breakup like 13 months ago and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to listen to Jagged Little Pill every day. So, and now I am dating someone else and I've been forcing her to listen to Jagged Little Pill over and over. And about a month, it's great. It's okay, great. It's a good thing. She loves it. And we were parked on Sunset the other day and we were rocking out to this and it was the very end like this and yeah. we were losing our shit
yeah.
and rocking the car and right at the end a guy walks by us and he was like at first quizzical and then he clapped for us because we were freaking out so much and I lowered the window so we could hear it was Alanis.
Yes!
So like,
I wonder if he was just like, are they fucking? Why is the car? I was like, oh, yeah. It's Alanis.
That's, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's such a great testament to the power of vulnerability.
Yeah.
Because she was so vulnerable in this song.
Yeah.
We get so vulnerable during mm-hmm. this song. It's fucking contagious. This guy driving by was like, that ruled. I love yeah. seeing
Although,
you just lose your shit.
I will say, it is funny to me that you had your breakup album and then you were just like, I gotta share this with someone else. And now you cannot break up with this person.
I know.
No, I know. I feel really good about this relationship.
Good.
I think it's going to last a long
good.
Time.
You're going to join me in clapping? Fucking finally.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Side note, what I do want to say about this song is it's an amazing song.
Yeah.
But it's also part of an amazing album.
Yeah.
And I feel like the album as a whole, there's just so many fucking hits.
Oh, yeah.
It's
all
great.
Of her top Spotify songs
Dude,
are from this
all
album.
All I Really Want, even the first song, is so fucking good. It's not even one of the top four hits from the album. Yeah. And it's incredible. Like the
Head
whole
Over Feet.
Head Over Feet, yeah. Iran. Like it's yep. stunning. Yep. This album is stunning. Yep. It's just hit after hit after hit. And it still stands. And even though it has like some cheesy 90s parts, you still love it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the videos are cool. It's just like, it really holds up.
It's also such a great time capsule because the songs are still good that they hold up, but the production is so dated
yeah.
that when you listen to it, I mean, for me more than anything else, I literally feel like it's 1995 again.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It's a great way to just like transplant yourself to that
yeah,
space.
It brings me back to when I was like a teenager and like my hormones were all over the fucking place and I felt a lot. It's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God, tell me... You have too much power with the laptop.
You shouldn't have made me. You shouldn't have let me do this.
I mean, I think that we're like definitely obviously fans of the song. So this wasn't a very objective breakdown of it. But at the same time, like, even if you don't like the song, I think you have to respect the song.
Yeah. I mean, it was, again, like, she's such an interesting pop icon.
Yes.
She is so out of the box. It's truly only because she is one of a kind and genius.
Yes.
There's no way. Like, it's so weird. She's so brooding and bizarre and has such a weird career. And,
yeah.
like, supposed former infatuation junkie was so weird when she was, like, naked in the town square
yeah.
in, like, that, in that video. She's
thank
a super.
You, and,
yeah, thank you, Thank you. Like, all these names where it's, like, all the names are just names that people have in Silver Lake for their kids now. Like, she predated it. And it's just like, she's super weird and super cool and insane. And yeah. it's like, it's just cool. It's only because of how brilliant she is.
Yeah.
She's
and
such
she
a
took
one of a kind.
A 3-year break
yeah.
after that record. She was like, yeah. I don't really want to be that famous. Yeah. Like, I'm going to take a step back. Like, this chick's cool.
She's cool. Yeah.
She's great in weeds.
More like David Uncoulier.
She's also God in Dogma.
Yes!
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's no, yes, that's the fucking Kevin
Smith film.
That
Smith.
Movie's tight.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah, that was when yeah. Kevin Hart was really homophobic.
Shut up. You don't even know. I'm not good with names. It's fine. And also, Alan Rickman was great in it, and I loved his non-dick. Anyway, it's fine.
His non-dick?
Yeah, he's an angel. He doesn't have a dick.
Oh, right.
And they
right.
show it, and I thought it was so interesting when I was like 10 years old.
And you were just like, ooh, I want that.
I was like, is that what they all look like?
Because I could handle that.
No, Dave Coulier's got a much wider non-dick.
Okay, any final thoughts about the song before moving to Punch Up?
I do want to hear the weird bass part that Flea does again in that middle.
Yeah.
That seems like untoppable. It's so good.
It's crazy. And it comes after just, it's just a weird place for it where like, how quickly I was replaced.
This is also, I think, the second song we've punched up where Fleas played the bass and he wasn't in the band.
Yeah.
It's pretty
Fleas
cool.
Fleas just all
He's
over.
Everywhere. Hey, like Fleas, that's why he has that name. Yeah. I just figured it out.
You figured it out. I want Flea to do the podcast.
In a dream. I mean, maybe 2019's the year.
In a boy's dream.
Didn't play the bass on that, no. But he should have. Crash Into Me, Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been so fucking cool.
So, for the punch-up.
Yes.
This is an interesting one. Demi wrote the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I recorded it.
Yes.
Separately. Have you listened to it yet?
No. So, I was like, oh, I'll do this one. And as soon as I saw You Oughta Know, I knew what I wanted to do for it. But then I also was just kind of like...
So, You Oughta Know. I'm so sorry.
It's cool. Cool. We have the power to edit things. I'm kidding. No, but I was also just like, people are going to want to hear Miel Zalana's voice, and I also don't want to do mine because it's not good. So I was like, Miel, what if I write it and you sing it?
It's really fun. It's kind of my dream scenario because writing this shit's hard.
And I think writing's it is easy and recording is hard. So maybe we'll do this more often.
Yeah, hell yeah. Okay, so you want to say anything else first?
Dave Coulier, he a weirdo. Yeah. Should I say more?
No.
Okay.
I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. An older version of me, is she perverted like me?
It's just the Would same. It's a cover.
Down on
it's perfect.
A theater. And more specifically, while you were watching Rudy, would she go down on you in a theater? Cause whenever we went to the movies, you spent like an hour to try and get me to blow you there. Gross. Even when the room was full, she should know that you said it was fine, cause it was super dark, super dark. It was Jurassic Park, and I'm here to advise you not to ask for a beach at the bodyguard. It's so weird to remind you watching Malcolm X should not make you hard. Go, 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 I don't very well. Things look peaceful. I'm not quite as well. I thought you should know. Cause I'm still not allowed in at the AMC 10. I mean, like, what the fuck did you think would happen? You used the voice of an elf and said, "Will the world suck itself?" And then you took your dick out at Aladdin. While I'm here, let me say it was dumb, by the way, when you asked for an over and over at Groundhog Day. No. And even when the room was packed, you would point to your dick and suggest they won't notice it. Holy shit, even at Schindler's List, and I'm here to remind you that the Sandlot should not make you horny. To be clear, do you mind, dude? There's just one free Willy I wanna see. Yo, on and off. And I'm here to ask why you tried to get Dome Map Ninja Turtle 3. It's not to deny me. Can I watch a movie in 0D? Yes, hard enough.
Guys, that was a fucking masterpiece. And like with the 94, like the era correct movie
exactly.
references,
I was
fucking nailed it.
I was like, there's a specific reason.
Of like, that's like a, people are going to fucking love it. That is way better than you could have done that I would have loved it. Like, you fucking, that's an amazing song.
Thank you. All credit to Miel for some of the better lines than like the 0D one.
Oh, dude. Yeah. So good.
I was like, do you mind if I change this. I'm so sorry.
And I'm glad that you did, because some of my lines were sad at the end.
No, that's what I was like, hey, this is kind of a bummer. Can I go ahead and reference the Sandlot?
Oh, God. You know what? There's only one thing I would have changed, which is you oughta blow.
Oh!
It's just.
This is why you have a Comedy Central show.
Yeah, that's why.
But
you know what? You can just imagine it. But it was honestly incredible job.
We oughta.
That's a way to kick off the year.
That is a way to kick off the year.
It was very fun to sing.
Oh man!
What do you say after that? Nothing.
Yeah, we just end the show here. Well, goodbye, everybody.
Unpunchable, fuck off. Should we get to
Unpunchable, fuck off? I love that show.
Should we get to Unpunchable Jams?
Let's do it.
God, that was so good, guys.
Thank you, and Jake, would you like to go first?
Sure. It's a little kind of mainstream, but it is the song I pretty much listened to most last year. And I will, before I even say what it is, there were such high expectations I had for this song as the lead single of an artist that I love dearly. And then when it came and it was even better than I thought it could be and my bar was way too high, I was impressed, which is Missing You by Robin. Now you're sitting on my pillows faded. At least you left me with something. There's this empty space you left behind. Ooh. And I just feel like, because Robin, it's just so good what she's doing, because it's for everyone.
Yep.
But in the least lame way possible. It truly brings people together of like all sorts of people it brings together. It can bring bros and like
hoes,
toes.
From all different area codes.
Widows.
Blows. And also everyone can relate to it.
Yeah.
Because you're always missing someone, which almost sounds lame, but when she sings it, it feels so real. And I just think it is such a stunning song. It is a perfect pop song. It might even be her best ever, and she already had the 20 best pop songs.
I have not heard this song, but now I have to.
Oh, dude. It's so good. Also, Honey off that album is fucking incredible.
Love Honey.
But Missing You is really, really special.
I'm going to listen to that on the drive home.
I do not think it is possible to punch it up.
I wouldn't try.
Well,
I would never
next
try.
Week. What if every week we did the song that last week someone was like, it's
just
perfect.
To say fuck you too?
Just as a challenge.
Ugh. Speaking of fucking Jake goddamn Hurwitz. He made
so funny.
He made Crash Into Me an Unpunchable.
Are you serious?
Like a week after we punched
it
up.
So funny.
And this is his podcast network.
I also, you know what I loved about that is it just threw a wrench into everything that I was just kind of like, it doesn't fucking matter.
So
anymore.
Quickly the wheels fell off.
No, I was just kind of like, good. Now it's just, I'm going to plug a song that I'm like, I like it. I don't know if it's unpunchable.
But on the other hand, this is now, I think, our second Robin song, and I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, and also,
the more Robin, the better.
I will say this, when you're driving home tonight, it's kind of like a beautiful song to listen to, like when you're driving home at night with the windows down.
Yes, it's
really like you're alone and it's sad, but you're empowered.
Yep.
And it's like, I'm gonna be okay.
And I'm in control of a giant thing of mechanical equipment.
Yeah. Hell yes.
And I'm gonna crash it into a house and just kill a random person.
Well, now hold on, we're downtown. I'm going in the river, baby.
But it's so good. It's just so good.
Oh, I'm so excited that's going on the playlist. Demi, do you want to go next or
sure.
last?
The song that I'm picking is a song called Flamingo by a band called Caro Caro Benito. Pink iro ni naru no, dakara minna chigau iro. Ningen te kanjigai shiteru yo ne. Black, white, green or blue. It is a British, I don't even know if I would call it electronic, but they're like a pop group that is fronted by this British-Japanese woman, and like most of the song is in Japanese, but it starts with like a very simple like clap beat that she's talking over, and then it very quickly turns into this like weird like Wurlitzer that sounds like a recorder, and it's so, so catchy. Our friend Megan Nuringer showed it to me one day, and I was just like, this is the coolest
thing. Megan's cool. This song's probably cool.
Oh, no. Wait. This entire point, you're just like, I don't know about this song, but if Megan said it,
yeah,
that's fair.
No, you've said some weird ones before. I'm like, nah, not for me.
Name one.
That vehicle song?
It's a great song. Anyway, no, it's a very just terrific pop song that's, again, mostly in Japanese, but it's just, the chorus is, it's about a flamingo and how, like, you don't, like, the colors on a flamingo are weird. You don't have to be like everyone else to be cool. You can be whatever the fuck you want to be. Anyway, great cool. pop song.
I'm not sure I get it from what you just said.
I was stumbling through and then I was like, why would I recite the lyrics? Like, I was just like, how much do I have to talk?
No, you don't have to say anything. That's plenty.
Yeah.
I'm excited to listen to it.
It's really good.
It sounds very cool. Does it sound like I'm being sarcastic?
It does sound like you're... The thing is, I'm sure listeners at home will be like, oh, Miel, be nice. But it's like, you're not... It just sounds sarcastic.
I just have a bitch voice. That's my curse.
You should... I mean, it worked for Alanis.
I thought you were trying to say Aladdin.
It worked for Aladdin.
I was like, were you referencing the punchline?
That famous bitch Aladdin.
Technically, Jafar is the bitch in that situation.
They're all bitches.
You want to know, is Jasmine singing to Aladdin?
Speaking of, just quick back reference to that again, that fucking line took me about 40 tries.
Then you said Aladdin.
In the voice of an elf, you said, well, it won't suck itself. Oh, yeah. And then you pulled your dick out.
That was
Aladdin.
So good.
She has a video of her, the first recording of it, and she just fucking breaks into a laugh at the end, and it's so great.
I did that 17 times.
You know what I love about that video? We'll post it on Twitter and whatnot, but and probably Instagram, whatever. But what I love about that video is you can hear when she's still singing, but she's smiling. Like, when you can hear someone smiling as they sing, it's the funniest thing to me.
It's really
it's
funny
so
lyric,
charming.
Dude.
It's great.
You did great, bro.
Thank you. More compliments.
Okay, so I'm going to compliment somebody else now.
Oh.
So sorry. This is an artist that's been around for a few years now. I've hesitated to shout her out because I've had mixed feelings, and she sounds a lot like a Deb Talon of the Weepies to me, which took me a long time to get over.
What? Deb Talon? Is that a person or?
Uh-huh. She's the lead singer of the Weepies.
Okay.
A band from like the mid-2000s that probably no one knows. It's very, very specific. Probably
I know
my
the
head.
Weepies.
You
Island
do, thank
band.
You.
No, I'm kidding.
However, I have come around on her recently because these are just good pop songs with kind of stream of consciousness lyrics. That feel very real and very specific, and I'm pretty sure all this shit is true, so it very much reminds me of Alanis. Maybe she's this generation's Alanis. Her name is Phoebe Bridgers.
I oh, love yes. Phoebe Bridgers.
Yeah. And the song is Motion Sickness.
I love that song. That's one of my top five listen to songs last year.
Me too.
And also because like Boy Genius, the super group she's in, is pretty good. But her solo stuff I like even better.
It's just, it feels so authentic in a way.
It's also about like Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like her like being emotional in Silver Lake.
Yes. The Motion Sickness video is right outside of my old apartment. Yeah. The whole
thing.
Dude,
that is a fucking great song.
It's a great song. I'm actually kind of embarrassed now that I didn't shout it out earlier because I've been secretly listening to it for years going, oh, I don't know if I like it or not, but clearly I fucking do.
It's so good. And it's also like, you know what's funny about that is I share a wall with my neighbor, and we've only talked a few times, but I could hear her playing Motion Sickness over and over, and I almost wanted to take it as an opportunity to be like, I like her too. I really like that song too, but I was like, that's so creepy. I don't want her to know that I know. Yeah, but I'm like, oh, I'm like you.
Yeah. We're all Phoebe Bridger stans, low-key. I think it's pretty common now, and I think that's awesome. I hope she stays true to her voice because I like her voice a lot.
Have you seen the Tiny Desk Boy Genius video?
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah.
Oh my God, guys. The NPR just like posted like their best Tiny Desks of the year. Yeah. Like, and there was one that if you want to watch it, if you want to cry, it is impossible not to cry while watching it. Have you seen this one where it's this woman named Essence who had this student, the songwriting student, who got MS and he's dying and he is on a computer screen in the room, like he has no voice anymore, and his like one of his last wishes was to see his songs performed. So his songs are performed by a ton of people, and they're really good. And he has like a young daughter, and he's in the hospital watching it happen and like weeping without a voice, with like a robot voice, where he goes, "I love it," but you're like dying.
And this woman, Essence, is singing it.
It's like his dying wishes to see his song sung, and it is. I woke up early one morning, like 7:30. I was just, that Tiny Desk stuff. I love that. And I'm watching it. I'm weeping before 8 a.m. And I like, it's impossible not to, but I recommend it.
Even you telling me right now, I'm like, oh, don't
it
cry
is
on your
so,
podcast.
It is so devastating. I can't even believe it's real, but I highly recommend
it. But it's like a beautiful cry.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful.
It's like, here's the thing. If you don't cry while watching it, you're a sociopath and you should probably murder people. You know what I mean? That probably,
you
is, your,
probably.
That is your murder.
Okay,
that is your
like
thing
in
life.
I would like to jump in really quick. We do not advocate for murder on this podcast.
Only drugs.
Only drugs.
It's beautiful, and that's another unpunchable.
Now I'm afraid to watch it because what if I don't cry?
You will.
No, he might not.
You are. You're a sensitive
guy. He might not.
No,
at the end of Interstellar, he leaned forward and looked at me and was like, "You're crying."
That is not you.
At the
told this story for years.
He was getting head.
No, it was the beginning of Interstellar, and it just took a while.
This one is. You'll see. You should. You guys should let me know if you do watch it, because I'll Venmo you $5 if you don't cry. How about that?
So now I'm gonna record a video of myself just steely-eyed staring at this.
It is worth $5 for me to have that video. And I honestly would post it as a challenge on Twitter, Instagram to your followers. Anyone who can watch that and not like and not cry,
she'll give him $5.
I'll give him $5.
You're doing a try not to cry challenge.
It is like literally one of the most insane things I've ever seen. You'll see what I'm talking about.
This is you going, I just want to create a database of sociopaths, but I will pay them each $5. Yeah.
No, it's pretty fucking insane. You'll see.
Okay, awesome. What a nice little bonus on Lunchable. Thank you. Jake, if anyone wants to catch in with you online, is that an expression? No.
It is now. It's 1996, I guess.
Don't touch that dial.
If anyone wants to catch in with you online.
If y'all are surfing the cyberspace and you want
to
stop
by. They
can
go to http://.
AOL keyword corporate.
With the supervision of a parent.
Yeah, the only thing I really care about is if you check into corporate the show. You can watch it at cc.com. You can watch the first season until the 15th for free.
Ooh.
Which is great. And then the second season premieres January 15th at 10:30 p.m. And on Twitter, I'm Weissman Jake.
That's easy.
Yeah.
That's your name, but backwards.
Yeah.
That's pretty clever. I see what you did there. If you want to follow us at Electrolemon, at Miel, or at Punch at the Jam, on fucking everything.
On everything.
Including Patreon, if you want to pay us $7 a month for a whole second podcast.
Yeah, a whole second podcast. You can download the songs that we make. You can watch a video of us making some of them. You get to vote on some of them, which has proven to be... challenging
perhaps
for us.
Perhaps leading us astray. I'm not so sure the patrons know what songs to punch up.
Look, we're happy that you're happy, but every time we've just been like, what?
Really? Fuck. Okay,
we
Jake.
We do this because we love you.
Thank you.
And we love you
so much.
I had a blast. It was so fun, guys. Yeah. And that song is so good.
That song is so good. I'm really so happy we got to talk about it for 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, yeah. I meant your song.
Oh my God. Thank you
but
so much.
But the song is good as well.
No, the original song was trash and we fixed it.
Right. That's our stance here.
That's our stance here. We talk about bad songs.
That's it. Okay. Okay, bye!
Let me just quickly say,
okay,
the head I got during Interstellar was out of this world.
Oh my God.
Goodbye, everybody!
Okay, that was...
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.